In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At what point did that son in the parable die? Jesus said he was dead, you know. And that was not the case at the very beginning of the story. There the boy seemed as alive as ever. While under his father's roof, he had all kinds of lively power, will, and imagination so that he would even be able to go off and see the world, to conquer the world, it seemed, to take it all in. At least that's the way it would work out in the notion that he had been entertaining in his own mind. But then soon into the story, he showed himself to be, as we might put it today, a hot mess. Emphasis on the mess. But at least while he was still under his father's roof for a little bit, that mess was contained. Indeed, it's as soon, though, as he turned away from his father, that's when he died. And let that be clear. Remember that. It's as soon as you turn away from the father that you die. It wasn't when he hit rock bottom, feeding pigs in their slop, or when he was even hanging out with prostitutes. He was already dead then. He just didn't know it. He couldn't know it. He was dead. And the people who wouldn't give him anything were only confirming that. You are not dead merely when you realize you are dead. Dead people do not realize they're dead. And I would advise you in no way, shape, or form to try putting my statement to the test. Dead people can't, as Jesus put it today, they can't come to themselves. Because they're not coming to themselves, but they are becoming like nothing. Just an unformed mess. They just do what dead people do, and they go after whatever is allegedly in their minds, perhaps thinking it'll give them life, but it won't. And as much as they think it will, their remaining brain impulses prompt some musculoskeletal actions, and they end up not really going anywhere, accomplishing anything that is worthwhile or that's going to last. They're kind of like fish flopping around that have this death reflex. They just flop around in different positions, but they end up on their back either way, and just in a little bit different shape. And after they stop moving, nobody cares. They are realizing, it's just apparent that they are the unhinged mess they became when they had already left the father. What a morbid sermon for Father's Day, huh? Oh. But now get this. If you realize that you are dead, and you're having this awful proclivity to be stuck in your own thoughts and sensing this isn't good, that might actually be a sign that there's some life in you. Because that shows you're starting to believe your Father's word. And he wants you to think his thoughts instead. And if your father and his goodness or his household and its business is on your mind, well, that's a sign that there's a pulse there. And if you're headed toward your father, good. You have life. If you're in his embrace and if he's speaking to you, touching you, yep, you're alive. If you're celebrating that he has found you despite how you were, yeah, you're alive. If you're sharing in joy with others, some of you whom you had formerly abandoned, you're alive. If indeed you're back in the field and with your hand in the plow, but now you're knowing that this is helping your father and whatever labor you're doing, it's for an eternal kingdom because you're still ultimately headed back to the Father to be feasting with him, you're alive. So how do you think that younger son, why do you think he left in the first place? I would assume that if he was a lot like kids or adults for that matter, it's because he didn't want to work, or at least do the work he was appointed to do, I should say. He got a word of that there's some kind of other life entering his head that tickled his imagination, some other kind of life apart from the Father. He didn't want to work because he really wanted to find out what this notion of partying is, going off and indulging for yourself. Didn't work, of course. His partying was not like the joy of his father's feasting, the father's household. Instead, his partying was just long or short-term, experimental, momentary pleasure followed by great disappointment. He was dead. And so he might try it again and again, but he's kind of like that fish with the death reflex that he just is flopping around and nowhere. He was already dead and didn't know it because he had turned away from the Father. But now, when back with his father in the household again, now he feasts. And yes, there he probably was going to have some work to do eventually, but he'd be enjoying it because there was also his father providing and protecting him, and there would be feasting again to look forward to. There wasn't partying as such, partying in the selfish sense just for indulging a little bit of sensual pleasure. There was feasting. There was sharing with other people, and they were enjoying the fruits of their labors, and they got a wonderful horizon that this is going somewhere. They're sharing in their father's wisdom and the wonderful things that he has set out for him in his kingdom. And they'd share this with all that they ran into in the father's kingdom, all who were facing him. There was joy and more to share. And the father himself, well, he was a working, feasting animal, not a party animal, a feasting animal. Not in the sense that he was a created four-footed creature by any means, but that he lived and he moved and he worked and he loved providing for his people, just pouring it all out. That's what the Father is doing here. He's over the top, many might say, from the outside. It wasn't like, but it was kind of like, just for him, he loved putting on this feast. Like there wasn't anything he wouldn't give. And in fact, that is what the son asked for, to divide the inheritance, to give the inheritance early. And so his loving, working, feasting father gave it to him. Now keep in mind, by giving what the son asked for while he was still facing the father and alive, therefore, the father was not really being reckless, as we might describe it. Fathers love to give good things to their children. Quintessentially, that's what a father does. Loves to give everything for his family. And that's the case here. God loves to give good gifts to all. Well, even so, is a father bad if he gives a son a rope, if he asks for a rope? No. If the son has turned away from the father and then uses what knowledge he has without faith in the Father, that's the problem. That's when the son might just go off and make a rope and hang himself. We don't have a rope problem. We have a turning away from the Father problem. Now, if a father refuses to teach his children, that would be a bit of a different story. That's not what fathers are called to be like. But the fathers should love teaching their kids. And that is what this father in the parable loved doing. You can see it right again. He loves teaching his son and teaching everybody there in his household. Well, even so, how did this son come back to life then if he was dead? Somebody must have presumably, who was alive, spoken a word to reactivate that dead son's memory of his father's goodness. His father's word is powerful. One who speaks the Father's word breathes life. And that's what happened, so that the dead son began to breathe. And indeed, when he began to breathe again, he still had some mistaken notions of trying to like set some terms for his father to receive him back. Thoughts that really would have killed him if he went off by himself too long. But he was facing his father, and his father, when he sees him, runs and embraces him and kisses him. He gladly receives him back. And that's when he gets straightened out to learn the way it is. Jesus is the one who breathed life into that dead son. That's essentially what Jesus came to do, and he walked among us speaking his word. In fact, he was actually doing this long before in the Old Testament by the prophets, sending the Holy Spirit by the prophets to breathe faith into people who had a semblance of life. Remember what God said to Adam? And the day that you eat of that fruit, you will surely, you know. But by the prophets, by the word of the Lord, that's how they had life nonetheless. As they were facing that promise of the Messiah. That's what the Old Testament is about. That's how there was life there in the midst of death. And that is what Jesus did when he came and spoke the word of his, pointing us all to him who would bear our sins in his body on the tree. Christ, in going to death, remember, he might have been facing death, but he was also facing the Father. And therefore, even though he truly dies, he's yet facing the Father. And to face the Father, you have life. Death is not defined by neural impulses or brain waves going through your head, but it's defined by how you are turned toward the Father, even when your brain waves have ceased. And so Jesus truly died, and he truly lived, and he bodily rose, and he breathed his word and spirit to breathe others to life like you and me. And even after we have fallen into death again, he breathes life to forgive us and revive us, to turn us to the Father. That's what makes the difference. That's a great comfort also for you and for many of us who have had fathers or grandfathers who have physically died. That's not the big issue. That's just temporal. If they were facing toward the Father, they're still alive. They're going to rise too. Notice how in giving everything that he had, shedding his blood, Jesus was in fact doing just like God the Father. He was lavishly giving his life, even for us. We who were just a dead mess, he gave all to the Father to redeem us. Giving all is the essence of what fatherhood is. And so it's what sons are also learning to do as they live in their Father's word. They serve him and his kingdom in many and various ways, but it's all directed to the Father. Bringing others back to life by speaking to them the word of Jesus. And watch how powerful our Heavenly Father's word is. It makes dead sinners who have no hope, nothing in themselves they can do, it makes them alive. Because that's how you come to faith. To know the Father who made you, who you had fallen from. Now, we also heard about this older son in the parable. And he too was alive, but he was in great danger. Even while in his father's vicinity, he was doing similar things to what living sons do, but he was quickly dying and he was asking for his death. Apparently, he too wanted to party with his supposed friends, to have a semblance of the Father's feast, but in that gathering, there would be people who only would love themselves in their own type. Very, very much cutting themselves off and just becoming a self-congratulatory society, it was collectively morbid because it's just looking inward, going nowhere. The self-congratulatory exclusive partying bunch, watch what happens. They are the type who can't repent even when a sinner should, who can't rejoice, even when a sinner repents. And that is what angels rejoice in. Sinner repents. They can't rejoice even if someone should rise from the dead. In a self-congratulatory society, neither likes to work with the Father who is generous. His kind of feasting just makes them roll their eyes. Why would somebody want to be giving like that? That's what they say. But remember, that kind of partying The first problem is that they turned away from the Father. They don't want to hear his word, receive what he gives. They don't want to look at his graciousness. They want to pick and choose their own way, and they end up making a mockery of the Father's household. They start calling bad things good and good things bad. They call younger brothers bad. They call work bad. They call the Father's way of feasting bad. Self-sacrificial love, that's ludicrous. True communion, and integrity in the Father's word, that's bad, it's ridiculous, is what they say. And they go and they make a mockery of what the Lord's communion is to be. Jesus' true body and blood, where he's pouring everything out. No, we can't have Jesus' true body and blood. We need to have spiritual, wonderful thoughts soaring up to heaven. It's ludicrous. It's totally that's the opposite of where Jesus gives his body and blood. Here on the altar, pouring it all out. Well, even so, Jesus went today to the scribes and Pharisees to show them that kind of partying. It's morbid. They wanted all back to the Father, even them. When they were hostile to him, he just didn't just go and stick with people who liked him, but he preached even to them, they who made himself his enemies. To hear the Father's word and learn it, to welcome the lost, that is the way of life. And so this is the life that Jesus has called you to as well, because he wants us all pointed to the Father. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.